The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Maryland rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
A.K.A. Birthday Girl.
Belated Birthday Girl.
Also, it's Kate.
Welcome to Med Crimes. Notice I would not say welcome to Med Crimes until you said who you were. They have the people.
Yeah,
have to
you
know.
Took a stand. You freaking stood 10 toes down on that one. You were like, nope, I will not budge until you introduce yourself. Anyway, hi, I'm Kate. I don't sound like a wood chipper anymore. We are so sorry for the delay, but I had a plague that took my voice away for many, many, many days. And it was to the point where if I had recorded sounding like that, it would have been considered assault on all of our listeners. So I can't in good conscience assault all of you with my meat grinder voice. So now I'm back. If I sound a little nasal or a little crispy, my apologies. I'm continuing to recover, but I'm much better. Everybody wash your damn hands. It's that time of year again. First of all, take a moment and enjoy the fact that it is the Devinism Queen herself's birthday recently. We just celebrated her birthday.
We did.
She is so special. She's my bestie forever, and I must die first in this relationship because I don't know how I would continue without you.
No.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
I must be the one to give your eulogy, if that is the case, but also please don't let me go first. But
no.
Anyway.
We're going to have a contest about who dies first. Anyway, if you haven't sent Devin any love, please do it because she loves birthday love, as do I, as do all of us. And we have Patreons. So many of them.
Patreon.
We have Jamie Richards. Hi, Jamie. Thank you. We have Lexi. Hi, Lexi. Thank you so much and welcome. We have Carrie Arp. Carrie Arp. Hey, hey.
We have...
Sarah Deliker. Hey, Sarah. Welcome. We have Dagmar Seguro Dotier. And I'm so sorry if I butchered that. Thank you so much and welcome, Dagmar. And we have last but not least, Miranda. So thank you all. Thank you all, the whole big old lot of you for
joining. That's quite a group.
So it really is. We so appreciate you guys. And I have a sweet critter for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Usually you need my help with this lately. I'm insulted. Ooh,
not today. All right, you guys are fire sprites. And fire sprites, are like these cute little creatures that are in like all kinds of like fantasy stories and, you know, worlds and whatnot. And they're these like little spirit creatures that are literally made of fire. Like their whole body, everything is made of fire. And they are like fierce companions. And if you touch them, they will like melt you and burn you. So like don't touch them, but you can still be their friend. Like it's all good. And they are often like in, you know, literature and stuff, they're like enslaved or taken advantage of. But don't underestimate them because they're super powerful and they will set your shit on fire. Okay? Okay. You guys are fire sprites. Boom, done. All right, guys. We have a beautiful, fancy, sexy, fat, and juicy tupata for you.
I'm so excited.
It's a good one. So this one's actually, it's a really good, really important story to tell. It's a story that the end of it is kind of like, well, there's like uncertainties here and there. It's interesting how everything unfolds, and it is very brutal. It is a story that involves, just as a sort of like trigger warning, domestic violence. It involves a victim who was pregnant at the time she was victimized, and it also involves young children. So if that is not, you know, something that you feel like you can listen to, then maybe skip through this series or go back and listen to something old, because it's brutal.
I'm tapping out.
So she'll join me on the other side. It's an important one to tell, like I said, and I'm going to be like as respectful as possible, especially when it comes to like what actually happened to these people and their injuries. As always, I'll do my best to kind of express the gravity of the crimes without being too gratuitous with it. So with that, here we go. We are going to talk about Dr. Jeffrey McDonald. And I actually did not know anything about this case until it was requested through one of our listeners.
I was going to say, did someone recommend it?
Yeah, it was a Instagram DM. So thank you, listener, for bringing this to my attention. This one, I kind of like immediately got sucked into the rabbit hole because of all the stuff that happened, like at the trial and everything is very interesting. So we are going to start with Jeffrey McDonald as a child. And now he grew up in a household that demanded excellence. And he grew up in the 1950s in Long Island. So that sort of sentiment was not uncommon, because that decade in the 1950s, especially like in the greater New York area, there was a lot of pressure on the working class to sort of like climb that societal ladder and like make the next generation better, right? So all of these working class families were really trying to like push their kids into, you know, a successful future. So not super uncommon.
Be the doctor, be the lawyer.
Well, exactly. You know, that was totally what it was. And his father was like kind of an intimidating guy about it. And like if Jeffrey didn't meet his expectations, he would be punished for it. So through his whole childhood, he kind of just like strived to be the best and do the best at athletics and school and everything that came with it. For the most part, he lived up to all the expectations and did very well. And by high school, he was kind of excelling at just about everything. So like he was like the straight A kid. He was making all the teams, super athletic, super driven. And he was even serving as the president of student council. He even won, you know how they do like superlatives, you know, for like seniors and everything. He actually won most popular and most likely to succeed from his classmates. I won best eyes. Also, he was the prom king. He got voted the prom king. So
well,
like
Jesus,
not only was he, you know, super accomplished, but he was like popular and everybody really liked the guy. Like he was super likable. He made friends super easily, made connections really easily. And so, you know, his trajectory was only ever like pointed northwards, right? So he actually ended up, because of how well he was doing, he got a scholarship to attend Princeton University. And what he wanted to study was pre-med. He wanted to become a doctor. He wanted to achieve that greatness all the time. So all the while, he maintained a girlfriend mostly off and on through high school by the name of Colette Stevenson. And the two would sort of like date off and on. A lot of times they would like kind of break it off when summer came because they would each, you know, be busy or like be getting jobs and doing mm-hmm. things during the summer and they just wouldn't really have time for each other. So it was kind of one of those things where they would be like off and on again. And once, so like it was initially freshman and sophomore year during the summers that they broke up. And by the time they both graduated high school, it turned out that they were both single. And when they were moving on to college, they both kind of reached out to the other one and were like, hey, you know, let's
they
keep
were
in touch.
Ready to mingle.
They were. Yeah. They actually, like that first semester at Princeton, John ended up sending Colette a letter and was like, oh, hey, just so you know, like I'm single. And he like kind of opened those lines of communication again. They reconnected a little bit. And then 2 weeks later, he went on one of his breaks to go visit her at her dorm room. And she was actually at Skidmore College. And she was equally eager to sort of reconnect and rekindle a little bit. And within a few weeks, they began dating. Yeah. And this time around, they both kind of had made the promise that, like, listen, we've always liked each other. It's always been you. So let's stop with like the awkward breakups, the summertime bullshit. Like, I'm in it, you're in it. Like, let's commit to each other. So they did. And
I mean, that's wise.
I think so. At this stage in their life, you know, that neither of them are ready to like waste time, you know? So it was one of those things. And so they begin dating. And sophomore year of college, they started kind of like talking about the future, talking about marriage. And then Colette becomes pregnant. And they're both like 19
scandalous.
At this time.
And this
at
is what time period?
This is in the 60s. Period? This is in the scandalous. 60s, early 1960s. So
I mean, it's better than the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, it is better. It's always better. Every decade gets a little bit less stringent on that, right?
A little bit more tolerable.
So it kind of becomes the expectation, though, in that situation that you two are now going to get married, right? Uh-huh. So they're both 19 years old. It's September of 1963, and they go to a Catholic church in front of their family and friends, and they tie the knot. They had a very brief honeymoon down in Cape Cod, and then they both moved into an off-campus house together, sort of like in the surrounding Princeton area. And Colette ended up leaving Skidmore at this point and then just kind of like becoming a full-time mom because she ended up delivering their first child, Kimberly, in April of 1964. So at that point, they were living together right around Princeton. McDonald is still going to school, and he completed his degree at Princeton after just 3 years. He did like an accelerated pre-med program.
Yep.
And I mean, nice. If anybody was going to succeed at that, it was going to be mm-hmm. him because he was just so good at academics and so charismatic. And he just somehow, as a new dad, was able to make that work. So
it's reminding me, by the way, because for some reason I decided that I was smart. And I was just going to go back and listen to Midcrime Season 1, Episode, like, 1 and 2.
Hell yeah.
And I commended you in those episodes for, I don't know how you had a toddler, was pregnant, and went through your nurse practitioner course. So, just saying.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot. But I couldn't have done it if I didn't have a very supportive husband who just, you know, totally
which
enabled
you mentioned,
my...
Which you mentioned in episode,
yep.
By the way.
It's, I will die, I will be... Dying on that hill, I would never have been able to do it if I didn't have a partner who was all in, just like me. So he worked just as hard as I did. Maybe not just as hard, but pretty hard. You know, I give him that.
Something happened
Something
to make
happened.
It on
he,
this.
Yep, he made a lot of stuff happen. So he's the man, genuinely. So he completes that degree after 3 years. And so now he's 21. He's married. He's got a baby. And he
has finished med school.
He has not med school, but he's finished his pre-med program. Yep.
Pre-med.
And with a pre-med degree from Princeton, I mean, your future is, you know, it's shiny. It's shiny. It's golden. So
it's
he
dangled.
Ends up getting into and enrolling in Northwestern University's medical school, which is a fabulous school, fabulous program.
That sounds prestigious.
Very elite, very elite. And what he wanted to do was get into the field of surgery. He wasn't real sure exactly what specialty, subspecialty, if any, but he really wanted to become a surgeon. So In May of 1967, during his third year of medical school, Colette gave birth to their second daughter named Kristen. And the following year, after Jeffrey, I think I called him John earlier. I'm sorry. His name's not John. His name is Jeffrey. My bad.
Get it together.
I know. I need to get it together. I blame the illness. The illness is just still.
Yeah. It's, you have it's encephalopathy.
Yeah, that's what it is. Metabolic encephalopathy. So then the following year, after the birth of their second daughter, Jeffrey graduates from Northwestern. And this prompts another move for the family. And anybody who's been in medical training, medical school, moving from schooling to internship to a residency program knows that it uproots you. That's the nature of the path. So this time they're moving back to the East Coast. He gets accepted into an internship program at Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center in New York City, another very prestigious, very highly sought after program. And so we've talked about this before, but just as a, you know, refresher.
The dad must be happy, I would hope.
The dad is just like loving this. He's like, hell yeah, he's checking all the boxes right now. So just to refresh for those of you who aren't, you know, maybe super familiar with like the difference between medical student, internship, resident, and then actual doctor. So you graduate from a medical program and you get your medical doctorate degree. You then have to enter an internship, which is like they start around a year long, and it's usually focused in either medicine or surgery. And they start working in like the healthcare settings, and they're considered sort of the first stage of like the hands-on training after graduating medical school. They're directly followed, ideally, by a residency program, which is then sort of going to be ideally in your specialty. The residency programs are when you're working really, really long hours, like long shifts at a time, very little breaks in between. You're functioning as a doctor with some oversight from your attending physician in the specialty that you plan on getting board certified in. And then at the completion of your residency program, you then take your board certification so that you can become a doctor who is then board certified in emergency medicine or pediatrics or what have you. And the length of the residency program varies greatly. You know, with internal medicine, it's maybe 3 years, 2 to 3 years, a lot of programs. But if you're going to specialize, the more highly specialized or high acuity your specialty gets, you then get longer and longer. They can be up to 10 or 15 years, weirdly enough.
A 15-year residency, could you imagine? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't, because it's like, you know, you get out of school when you're maybe like 26, and then it's like, so I'm not actually going to be a doctor until I'm like 40? That seems outrageous to me, but that's the reality. And that's like, you know, if you want to specialize in surgery and then it's like neurosurgery or pediatric neurosurgery, like all of those specialties add like layers of training that you have to complete. So it's just all very, very specific and very time consuming any way you cut it.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, Kate, guess what?
What?
I am super comfortable right now.
Same.
Oh, you want to know why?
Yep, I do.
Because I'm in my comfort clothes.
Oh my God, me too. I love comfort. Ah! If you're like me and you're in your cozy girl era, because that is where I live. Comfort is nice because it has options for the whole family. They have men's clothes, they have women's clothes, they have kids, and even furry friends.
The dog! You know, ever since you told me about Comfort and I've been exploring in it, I never want to get out of these clothes.
I wash all of my Comfort stuff on constant rotation because I get pissed if I have to sleep in anything else or wear a different sweatshirt.
My favorite part is that they're very size inclusive.
Their matching sets come in this variety of weights, the variety of colors. Every single thing that I have gotten has been so high quality.
I love the colors.
Oh,
me
too.
I'm currently in a mix of the dark, warm green fall color mm-hmm. with some light blue pastel.
Like, yes.
I am a season mix right
now. You literally are. I am in the Comfort Pastel Edit, the light pink color in the crew neck sweatshirt, and it is one of my favorites. I wear it all the time. And it's hard to describe, but I have a lot of sweatshirts, okay? Don't at me. But since I've been wearing Comfort, I always reach for these first. Because they're so soft, they're so comfortable, but they have enough structure that it feels like you're getting a warm hug when you put it on. You know what I mean?
Who doesn't like warm hugs?
Olaf likes warm hugs, and so do I.
Sure as hell does. But I'm really thinking about getting the Comfort weighted blanket.
Oh my God, I know. We gotta get some from the Pod Lab, dude.
So not only do they have the clothes, but they have the luxurious blanket as well.
They really do.
And I don't know about any of you, but I love a good weighted blanket.
My next one is gonna be the Travel Essentials hoodie because it has a built-in eye mask. And like, what? You heard me right. There is a built-in eye mask on this bad boy. They have all of the colors. The quality is so high, and it holds up really well over time. I've washed these things, like I said, on constant rotation.
That's my favorite. I hate when my favorite stuff starts to pill.
Yes. These don't do that.
Nope.
These do not do that. They're so functional. They are loaded with pockets, which I love. I gotta have a pocket. You know what I mean? So everything is like not only so comfortable, but so functional. You know,
absolutely.
It makes things so easy. And the prices are honestly super affordable. And they're actually having a sale right now. So, yep, GTFO. Get over there.
Get over there.
Get over there.
So if you want to check out and get your own Comfort stuff right before the holiday season, check out www.comfort, that's comfrt.com/medcrimes and get 15% off your purchase.
That is www.comfort.com, comfrt.com/medcrimes for 15% off of your purchase.
Go and get snuggly.
Woo!
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Do it.
So Jeffrey is busy, and he's heading into this internship at Columbia. But once he starts doing like the routine day-to-day doctor stuff that you're learning as an intern, he realizes, I fucking hate this. This sucks. He was like, it turns out this is a fucking lot of work.
No shit.
Who knew that this would be a difficult path? Like you're so it's funny because he seemed to be so high functioning in a classroom environment and in a like active learning capacity, but then he gets into like the practicum piece and he's just like the confidence is like out the window. Like when he's starting to like apply everything that he's learned is when he's like, well, this sucks and I hate it. I hate everything.
That almost reminds me of our dear beloved ex-roommate that we love dearly. So if she's listening, we love you. But we had to pull you out of bed for clinicals, girl. You hated that shit.
Oh, my God. We love you, too. We love you so much still. I mean, and then the nature of it, as anybody who's a physician will tell you, is like, You will go, you know, entire months without even having a single full day off. And you will work in 36-hour shifts, only stopping to sleep and then get up and do it again. So it's brutal. It is meant to be brutal. It's meant to be immersive. So like you live, sleep, eat, breathe medicine. And that is how you get so proficient at it. Because at the end of this road, you're the last stop. You are in charge of other people's healthcare. So it is important that you have that immersive experience. I get it. But it's a lot, especially for somebody who's already, you know, married and has children. This is a ton for somebody who's got a family. So we get it. But despite having, you know, reservations about this path that he was on, you know, he was like, I'm going to keep my nose to the grindstone because the outcome has to be worth it. Like, it has to be worth it. I put in all this work. I got to just continue. So he's pushing. And this sort of like space away from the family and all the time he was spending and putting into this did start creating some animosity between him and Colette. It started really creating a little bit of stress. She was a stay-at-home mom doing everything she could to make sure that the kids had everything they need. But, you know, it's one thing if your partner is home every night, and it's an entire another thing if you're not seeing them for several days to weeks at a time because they're spending all of their time at the hospital. Right. And it's sort of like I'm a single parent. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
100%. It's a lot to deal with on your own, for sure. And she's just feeling very disconnected from him. So that can be really tough for any relationship to navigate. So at this point, he's in his internship and he's starting to really double down and try to figure out what branch of surgery do I want to go into. I know I want surgery. And his initial interest was in thoracic surgery. So thoracic obviously is anything pertaining to the thorax or like the pulmonary cavity up in here.
Under that rib cage.
So he's doing stuff like esophagus surgeries, tracheal surgeries, lobectomies for lungs, maybe some heart stuff, but a lot of that is reserved for cardiothoracic surgeons who would specifically do like bypass surgeries, valve replacements, things like that. But he would probably have learned a lot about it, maybe assisted in some of those procedures as well. But very, very high risk. Also very high payout. I mean, this field is a very high earning field.
Right.
So that might be part of why he wanted to go into that.
Hey, zip it.
That's Ruben, everyone.
Hi, Ruben.
My puppy.
Usually it's your dog barking in the background.
I know. He wanted to finally make his med crimes debut.
Hey, come here.
So he is successfully distinguishing himself and is doing really, really well in this internship. Despite his reservations, he's getting a lot of really good feedback.
He didn't, like, think that this one was, like, way too much work?
No, I mean, he did. Like, he eventually did settle into it and, like, hit a stride. And he still, even though it was a ton of work and he was, you know, very annoyed by the workload, he still made a really good impression on all of his educators, all of his preceptors. So, with good marks from Columbia.
Dr. Death vibes, by the way.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So, again, you know, there's a little tension in the home. He's well on his way to becoming that licensed surgeon. But in 1969, there was another path available for young doctors to take after completing their internship. And he is like ready and looking for something maybe a little different. So Jeffrey decides to take this alternative path, which is enlisting in the United States Army. And what he really wanted to do was serve in the Vietnam War. So
he wanted to?
Yeah, he wanted to. He very much wanted to be where the action is. He thought it'd be a good learning experience. He'd get to really flex his skills, which he's not wrong.
Right.
And you know what he wants more than anything else, I think, probably stemming from how his father treated him as he was a kid, is like recognition, glory, and to be just, you know, at the very, very top of any hierarchy he possibly could be.
Yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of where that comes from. Now, Colette hated this idea. She was not on board. She's
I believe.
Don't love this, but if he's insisting and he went and enlisted, now what am I going to do? Like, I, you know, so they all pack their things and they set off for.
Oh, that poor woman.
I know. She's already uprooted like several times with their kids, right? So Jeffrey first packs his things and he goes to Fort Sam in Houston, Texas. And, he had like a little bit of a break while he did basic training there. And then after that, once he was deployed, he was like always looking for the most exciting, most high risk and most dangerous assignments. Like that's what he wanted. He was like, bring on the carnage. I want freaking, he wants active combat
that sounds
all the time.
Terrible.
I know. Oh, it sounds terrible to me too. But there are some people that are genuinely, they like that stuff. And he was one of those people, evidently. So he actually went on to join the Army's U.S. Special Forces, also known as the Green Berets. I mean, that is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, these people are the elites.
I've heard of them.
Essentially, they are their branch is like designed to sort of like execute the unconventional warfare methods, protect foreign internal defense, conduct special reconnaissance missions. Like they're doing the higher risk, higher payout work. And also it promised him action with paratrooping, gunfights, explosives. Like it all sounded very enticing because it was very dangerous. And he's an adrenaline junkie. That's what he likes. So he's like, after all this time in a classroom and in hospitals, I'm like so ready for just a total change of environment. So he throws himself at the special forces. He loves the adrenaline rush. He was jumping out of planes. He was diving into the water. He was part of an elite like rescue unit, and he was really looking forward to seeing action in Vietnam. But as it turns out, signing up as a Green Beret physician significantly lowered his chances of being deployed overseas into active battle, because at that point, you're just too valuable. So instead, McDonald was assigned to serve as a group surgeon at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. And that was very underwhelming to him. He's like, essentially, I'm going to be a family doctor for the military base. What I wanted was to see action. So he did all of this to hopefully, you know, see a lot of action, warfare. He wanted all of that stuff. But it turns out you can't really pick and choose where they deploy you when you enlist in the Army. You can't just like get whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the whole family then resettles into the Fort Bragg military base. And that offered a really, really good school program for the kids. It offered military security, living on the base. So it's appealing for a family to relocate to a base. And his job, you know, his day-to-day is relatively easy. It offered him, you know, plenty of free time, pretty open working hours, you know, like regular hours to kind of like spend with his family. And, you know, he's, you know, pretty much set up for domestic bliss. So like to Colette, she's like, I mean, this is okay. You know, I'll relocate if I can, you know, have some longevity here, have good, you know, we can put down roots and the kids don't have to keep uprooting. There's some domestic bliss. Colette's happy. The kids are happy. He should be happy. I mean, this is a nice, you know, ideal little scenario for him, but he's not happy because he never planned to be there. He wanted to see action. He wanted to see carnage and destruction and horror and warfare.
He didn't want to be on a base. He wanted to be in war.
Exactly. So now at this point, their kids are 5 and 2. Kristen is 2 years old. And most dads would be like, I mean, this is great. I could totally settle into this. So he had pictured himself being like this, you know, action hero as he was training to be a Green Beret. So now he's feeling like, why did I even go that route if I was just going to get assigned to being on a military base? So after a few weeks, after they had settled onto the base, McDonald approached his boss, Colonel Bob Kingston, and asked, hey, send me to Vietnam. Kingston was like, I mean, I appreciate your enthusiasm. Like, noted. I like it. I like your drive, sir. But I promise you, if I am ever deployed back into battle, I will bring you with me. And, you know, at the very least, that's like years away. Like, they're not planning on either of them being deployed anywhere unless there's some kind of global catastrophe. So there's not really any foreseeable chance that McDonald is leaving Fort Bragg before that happens. So he then is like, okay, I'm going to try to make the best of it. He's trying to bring in a little bit more, you know, excitement into his free time. So he starts pulling some night shifts in the emergency room at a nearby hospital off the base. And he also threw himself into his military work. He was staying really fit and really physical. He went to the gym a lot. And he Ended up going to volunteering for a lot of crazy training exercises. And some of these would happen on the base, some would happen off the base, some would even, he would have to travel for them around the country or even out of the country. And there was one exercise that actually brought him and his team to an island near Puerto Rico. And they joined another group of Navy SEALs in this drill where their primary objective was to identify and devise plans to assassinate the leaders of a communist protest in this like mock fake foreign country of some kind. So it was a big tactical lesson, like warfare tactics. And for him, he loved that stuff. Mm-hmm. He loved warfare. He loved studying all of that. And then so they would do like these rigorous lessons and tactics and training exercises during the day. And then in the evenings, he could like go out with his, you know, fellow soldiers and party a little bit. Yeah. So he loved these trips. He loves doing this stuff. And he liked getting, you know, a little bit of a taste of, you know, excitement, and at least talking about it, training for it. For these scenarios made him really, really excited. McDonald's was actually only beginning to get like a little bit of a taste of it when he was assigned the task of checking the local sex workers of Puerto Rico for diseases, presumably so that if he deemed XYZ to be free of any venereal diseases, he could then offer their services to their ranking officers. Oh. Which, gross. But also, we know that this is something that happens, or happened at least, in the military back in the day. This was rampant. We've
talked about this.
Yes. We've talked about this. Yeah, this was a very
big
issue. Yep. So that was the thing.
Ow.
So with his like little periods away and him getting a little bit of excitement here and there, the mood in the house did seem to improve. Like when he was home, he was a little bit happier. He was a little bit more emotionally available. The kids were happy. He, you know, apparently he kind of had given up on his dream of ever being able to go to Vietnam or go to active duty. But, you know, he was like, you know what? It's all good. You know, I'm okay doing what I'm doing. He actually even went and bought their kids a pony. So they had a pony. His name was Trooper.
I didn't know you could have a pony on base.
Apparently you can. You can have a pony. So he actually climbed the ranks pretty quickly. And actually within like a year, he had risen to the rank of captain, which is one of like the highest, or if not the highest, I guess. I'm not really positive, honestly. And you know, that's nothing to shake a stick at. He's really doing a lot better than he's giving himself credit for in this moment. And it seemed like, you know, these first 2 years were a little bit like uncertain and unstable, but it seems like things are starting to stabilize a little bit. Everything's looking up. But Jeff McDonald is still feeling some like nagging discontent. Like, yes, things are better. Like everything's a little better. But, like, I had to give up on my dream, and that sucks.
The
so he's,
song,
like, never fully happy,
the song,
you know?
Never Enough is coming into my head.
Never Enough! That's
yep,
him.
That one.
It's never enough for this guy. So, to nurse this, he found some other ways to kind of escape his, you know, so-called misery, and he starts stepping out on his marriage a little bit.
Oh, shit.
I shouldn't say starts, because this actually is something that has been happening for a while. Throughout their marriage, he had had affairs with several women, evidently. Actually, there was one in 1964 after their first child had been born, where he had reportedly contacted an old flame while he was still in medical school. And he, on these overseas excursions, he was, you know, hitting the sex workers just like everybody else was. And he was getting one night stands, meeting people. He just was like kind of a philanderer.
Gross.
Okay. I mean, yeah. And by the end of 1969, McDonald had even struck up a relationship with another old high school girlfriend. And even though at the time his wife was pregnant, he allegedly had plans to see his old flame in the spring. And it seemed like Colette was aware. Like, it seemed like this was not news to her. She had figured it out. And no, it really must have been very difficult for her because, like, how many options does she have?
Not many,
right?
Because she had to stop her everything.
Exactly. She stopped her life to become Jeffrey McDonald's wife,
yep.
Right? She abandoned her own dreams, her own thoughts, her own aspirations mm-hmm. so that she could become his housewife, right? So she went on, you know, she moved around the country with him. She supported him when she really didn't want to. And now she's pregnant with their third child.
Ugh. I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So she's reaching a little bit of a breaking point. She's like, you know, and so picking up on his wife's disappointment and how, you know, the pressure on him was growing a little bit, McDonald starts taking a medication called Escitrol. And Escitrol is a stimulant. It's actually in the amphetamine family,
which was often prescribed.
Yeah, it's not on the market anymore. It was prescribed for a time to suppress appetite and help boost the metabolism of patients who were trying to lose weight prior to like 1981. And there was market appeal very early on. It seemed to really work in terms of like appetite suppression. And it would like sort of, you know, curb appetite a little bit. But the FDA started placing harsher restrictions on it and amphetamine treatments for many different things in general, because amphetamine abuse in the 80s was starting to take off a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So these regulations started to really limit the prescription of that. And this specific medicine was kind of difficult to really predict how you were going to react to it. And it had a lot of variability on how people metabolize it. So it wasn't something that ended up working very well in general. Eventually, it was recalled altogether because it failed to prove that there was any like long-lasting therapeutic effectiveness that outweighed the risk of taking it. So it ended up being taken off the market altogether, and it's not something that's really prescribed anymore. Because today we have, you know, much more sophisticated, much more regulated,
we got better drugs.
Stimulant drugs that can treat a number of different things. But it seemed that McDonald's started taking this in order to, you know, be able to stay awake longer, pull those ER shifts when he needed to, get through those trainings. And if he was traveling, he would use it to like stay awake and get around jet lag. So he's starting to use this like pretty habitually. And in the spring of 1970, he had planned to travel with his army base's boxing team to Russia for a month-long tournament. And so he kind of like started ramping up his training a little bit, which then ramped up his Escitrol use in this time period. Now on Monday, February 16th in 1970 was a normal day for the McDonald family. At 6 o'clock in the morning, Dr. McDonald returned home from a shift at Hamlet Hospital ER, and he changed into his military uniform. After having just finished a 24-hour shift in the ER, he was then, you know, putting on his clothes for the day and getting ready to go to work on his normal day job on the military base, right? So he's working really, really long shifts. You know, at the end of his day that day, he's going to be going on 36 hours, but he's just popping Escitrol to kind of like wake himself up and get through it. So
a heart attack.
He's getting himself very sleep deprived here, which is like not going to end well. So, and it's something that, you know, doctors do have to navigate a little bit, because there are times, you know, especially in training where, you know, you're having to work these really long 36 hour shifts, and like, you know, you power nap when you can, you use caffeine when you can, and you just kind of try to really learn to work around it. But he's just going about it, you know, kind of the complete wrong way. Now, he gets to work on the base on that day. He's fresh. He's doing fine. He's looking at his agenda for the day. He's unfazed. He's doing lots of, you know, administrative work too. After work, he returns home and he takes his daughters outside to feed their pony Trooper right before dinner. And in the evening, McDonald goes and he puts the girls to bed while Colette leaves the house to attend a university night class she had started.
Oh, good for her.
To broaden her horizons. I wonder if she was going back to school in preparation to GTFO.
So I was
going to
say,
I
hope
so. To fall back on.
Yes.
That's my, I hope, yeah. I hope that's what she was trying to do. I fucking hope she was. So Colette leaves the house. She goes to a night class. McDonald falls asleep in front of the TV as he waits for his wife to return home. Now, after her class, Colette gave her friend a lift home, and then she stopped at a local grocery store to pick up a gallon of milk. She arrives back at the house just before 10 o'clock. It's been a long day for everybody. According to Jeffrey McDonald, he and Colette then watch The Tonight Show before she then goes to bed just after midnight. But McDonald didn't join her. Though he had worked like 36 hours in the past several days, allegedly he was not tired yet. So he stays up. He does some dishes, he reads part of his novel that he's working on, and about 2 hours later, he says, okay, at that point, I'm ready to go to sleep. He steps into the bedroom, and he discovers that his younger daughter, Kristen, was sleeping on his side of the bed, and unfortunately, she had wet the bed. She was still pretty young. I think she was only 3 or 4 at this point. Mm-hmm. So according to McDonald, he decided, I don't want to disturb my wife, who's dead asleep on the other side. She's like far enough away from it. So he picks up his daughter, he cleans her up, and he puts her down in her own bed and he tucks her in. He then took a blanket, like a spare blanket, and he goes to the living room so that he doesn't have to change the sheets or sleep in a pee bed. So he goes and he puts up on the couch and he goes in the living room.
Okay.
He says, finally, I lay down and fall asleep probably a little bit after 2 a.m. According to him, this is his account. At 3:40 a.m., a call comes in to the local telephone operator in Fayetteville, and a voice on the other end is asking for an ambulance and military police to be sent to the residence. And the operator heard what sounded like the phone being dropped, and then she wasn't getting any answers to her questions. So she wasn't positive on what to do, so that operator actually ended up transferring the call to a desk sergeant at Fort Bragg, and when the sergeant picked up the phone, the man on the other end did go ahead and speak again, and his voice was barely above a whisper, and he was begging for help to be sent to his address. He said, my family has been attacked.
What?
So this is February 17th, 1970, and military police at Fort Bragg show up to 544 Castle Drive, which is known to be the primary residence of this beloved military base physician, right? But the actual situation is still very unclear. They say, okay, there's been an attack at this residence. None of us really know what's going on. We don't know the extent of what's happening. So without any like real inspection of the outer grounds, like it's in the middle of the night, and without an idea of what's going on, the military police knock on the door. Nobody answers. So they send one of the sergeants around to the back to go investigate if they could get in the house and see what's going on. Several moments pass. The sergeant ran back as fast as he could. And then he started saying that, you know, something absolutely horrible has happened in this house. This part is particularly triggering with the things that I mentioned before, with the domestic violence, the pregnant victim, the child victims, just FYI. So inside the master bedroom, the police found 5-month pregnant Colette McDonald lying on the floor beside her bed, covered in blood. She was dead. She had broken arms, a skull fracture, and her head and body were covered head to toe in stab wounds. Jeffrey McDonald was lying motionless beside her, clearly also covered in blood and injured. His arm was sort of like draped around her. He too had been stabbed multiple times, but he was alive. He was sort of like seemingly unconscious when everybody came into the room. And once officers started like really tapping on him and trying to wake him up, he kind of like perked up a little bit. Officers noticed right away that there was a small, like sort of like tiny, one of those small, like a paring knife type of knife left on the rug next to them. There was also a single word written in blood on the headboard of their bed. And the word was pig.
Okay.
So as he heard his colleagues or like the military police kind of like talking to him, McDonald wakes up a little bit more and he begs them initially. He says, please go check on my kids. Please go check on my kids. I heard them in the house. Please go check on my kids. And then he starts saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And then he passes out again. So one of the officers actually starts like resuscitating him, you know, and starting like rendering aid. And the other officers start going down the hall to check on the kids. And inside their daughter's rooms, they discovered the badly beaten bodies of Kimberly and Kristen. No. They had both been killed in a similar manner to their mother, beaten and stabbed to death in their beds. McDonald had come to a little bit and he started trying to speak a little bit more as they tried to reach him. And he started saying he wanted to see his kids, demanding to see his kids. But the officers were like, no, we got to get you like medical attention. You're literally like cut up from head to toe. So they get him out of the house. They take him back to the Army hospital. He's at first glance is like seriously wounded. He's got stab wounds all about the stomach, chest. And he also, very early on his workup, they found that he had a collapsed lung from his injuries. At the hospital, doctors realized that McDonald's stab wounds, the vast majority of them actually were very superficial. Most of them didn't even require stitches or glue or anything. They started, you know, kind of slapping Band-Aids on him. But they looked serious, you know, and initially because he was covered in blood. And obviously he does have at least one pretty serious wound that penetrated his thoracic cavity because he has a collapsed lung. So now with a collapsed lung, basically what happens is that your ability to inflate your lungs comes from the negative pressure within your thoracic cavity, right? So without that negative pressure, your lungs can't inflate because the air pressure is sort of equalized, right? Mm-hmm. So as we expand our chest wall, it like sort of pulls our lung tissues back so that we can suck air in. That's how that works. So if you poke a hole into the thoracic cavity, and there's no vacuum effect for the lung to be able to expand, and that's how you get a collapsed lung. So doctors are starting to treat his wounds, and as McDonald stabilizes a little bit, he starts ranting about this attack that happened, and he claims he had woken up in the middle of the night.
He's the only survivor. Both kids and wife.
Yes, both kids and his wife are dead at this point.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So he says he had been woken up in the middle of the night to the sounds of his wife and daughters screaming, and that he looked up and he saw four people, three men and one woman, all wearing what McDonald described as hippie style clothing, quote unquote. That's what he said. It was hippie style clothing. Can anybody guess between the pig written on the headboard and the hippie style clothing where this guy is going to start to go with this? Anybody at all? Is anybody screaming at their radio right now?
I mean,
with guesses.
I hope so. Am I dumb that I don't have a guess? I mean, I'm just going to say to
Devin,
the whorehouse,
you're not done.
Like, I don't know.
We'll get there. Okay. So McDonald said, I tried to fight the intruders and one of the men hit me over the head with a baseball bat while the other one stabbed him with what he described as some kind of ice pick, like an ice pick type of weapon. He said the woman held a candle and was like coaching the men, telling them what to do. And he said that they chanted, quote, acid is groovy, death to the pigs.
What the fuck?
As they beat McDonald to the point of him losing consciousness.
Acid is groovy.
And kill the pigs, death to the pigs. Yep. So he wakes up and McDonald says, oh, my goodness, like he notices the attackers are gone, and he stumbles down the hallway to each of his daughter's rooms where he states he tries to perform CPR to save their lives. And when he starts getting weak and getting short of breath, he then goes into the master bedroom and he finds his wife's body there. And he made sure to emphasize one detail. He said he had pulled the knife out of his wife's chest and thrown it to the floor.
Okay.
And McDonald wanted to make sure that they, you know, that the providers at the hospital and the police knew that he did that.
Before
somehow
the police.
That was, he said, like, I did that before the cops arrived. He was, like, making it very clear that he had removed a stuck knife out of his wife's
Got
chest.
It.
So, and I think, like, in retrospect that he did that so that it would explain why his fingerprints would have been on the knife. You see what I'm saying? So, at the time, doctors were like, this guy's ranting and raving. He's obviously having, like, a menti bee. So they gave him some. A menti bee is, I mean, rightfully so. I think I would be definitely having a huge menti bee in this situation.
I just love that that's what we're calling it.
Menti bee, baby. I have my own menti bees, don't we all, from time to time. They give him like a sedative to kind of, you know, calm him down. And when the doctors checked on him again at 7:30, they found that his collapsed lung was actually getting worse. What they had done was they had put a chest tube in, and that what that does is it helps to, you know, recreate the seal and equalize the pressure in your thoracic cavity so that your lung can then re-expand. So they had placed a chest tube, but the chest tube was somehow not functioning well. So he starts like needing oxygen again, and he's starting to deteriorate a little bit. There's a number of reasons that this could have happened. The tube could have been clogged. He could have, you know, it could have been dislodged. It could have not been inserted all the way. Who knows what happened there? But the doctors actually ended up reinserting another tube, like another pigtail, into his chest. And that did do the trick. That did help to reinflate his lung, and it stabilized him a little bit. Now, by the following afternoon, the story of these murders had started hitting the papers. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey McDonald's claims that a hippie cult had killed his family were reported to be the most likely scenario that happened, right? Now, let's be mindful of the time period, okay? 6 months earlier were the infamous and widely publicized Manson murders. Do you know anything about the Manson murders, Devin?
Not really.
Oh, God. I wish they were medical in nature so we could talk about them extensively.
You're talking Charles Manson?
Essentially, yes,
okay.
Charles Manson.
I don't know. So, obviously, I know who he is, but I don't know, like, details.
So back in, like, the late 60s, he was this, you know, very, very liberal type guy who sort of, like, gained a following for his belief that, you know, war was coming between the hippies and the non-hippies, essentially. He wrote this whole book called Helter Skelter, and he said that Helter Skelter was coming. Helter Skelter is the name of this war. And somehow he was so insanely charismatic that he gained a following everywhere. And he and his group, mostly his group, started committing these murders. They would break into homes, do these home invasions. They would write messages like death to the pigs and stuff like that on walls
so
in blood.
So is he making it look like it's one of these guys? I'm presuming.
Exactly what he's fucking doing. Yes, he's trying to attribute this to, you know, a hippie cult that has invaded his home and murdered his family. That is what he's hoping people will garner from this. So now, and then like, remember there, and then also like the papers start like drawing parallels between the victims of the Manson murders and the victims of this murder because they also started looking at like Sharon Tate. Now, Sharon Tate was an actress back in the day, very famous, and she is the highest profile victim of the Manson family murders. And she was brutally murdered while she was heavily pregnant by Manson and or his followers. Okay. This was a very publicized, awful, brutal crime that happened in relation to that. And the papers start drawing parallels because Colette happened to look a lot like Sharon Tate. She was young, she was blonde, and she was pregnant when she died, just like Sharon. So they're thinking like, oh, hey, let's latch onto this and run with that. Now the FBI is getting involved because if this is indeed a Manson family related murder, this is the FBI's jurisdiction. Right. So local law enforcement, NPs, and FBI start setting up this huge manhunt to find who these killers are. And the U.S. Army Criminal Investigations Division takes the lead in examining the scene of the crime. And they spend many, many days combing the entire property top to bottom.
And
now,
what did they find?
Early on, so many things. So early on, they find the presumed murder weapons. They found that paring knife. They did find a club, and they found what looked like sort of an ice pick type of thing, which all had been left in the backyard. But surprisingly, for how messy the scene had been, none of those had any fingerprints on them. And it seemed like they had been wiped, like that fingerprints had been wiped off. Now, inside the house, detectives found splinters from the club in their daughter's room and in the master bedroom, but none in the living room where McDonald had supposedly fought for his life against the hippies. He said a lot of that fight happened in the living room, but there was no splinters or no evidence of the club being used in that area. And then other weird stuff starts coming up, despite the fact that the bedrooms were all covered in blood.
I love hearing about the mistakes.
I know. There was very little blood found in the living room, which is where McDonald claimed that he was stabbed. He said he was stabbed and beaten in the living room. There should have been a lot of blood in the living room. There was very, very little blood there. They also found no blood in the hallway. Remember, he said that he had dragged himself or crawled or staggered or what have you.
Correct.
Down the hall to his kids' rooms to try to resuscitate them.
Yep.
And there was zero blood in the hallway. So that is very unusual. You would expect to find a lot of blood or drag marks or what have you. There was also no blood on either of the two telephones that McDonald's had used to call for help.
Okay.
There should be blood on your hands, man. You've a lot of it. And don't tell me that you were like, oh, I better clean this blood off my phone so I don't ruin it while you're literally dying and trying to resuscitate your family.
Me.
No, I highly doubt that very much. None of the neighbors in the nearby houses remembered with perfect clarity whether they had heard anything or seen anything unusual that day or noticed anything weird with their comings and goings. And then the word pig on the headboard that was written in blood was written by somebody with a very steady hand. And the more they looked at it, the more they realized that whoever wrote this was wearing gloves. Like, definitely. I mean, they could tell by like the markings, right? That this was not like clear fingerprints. This was made with a glove.
Okay.
So it was becoming much
observation.
It is. Yeah. And it was becoming less likely that angry hippies had like scrawled that out in a drug induced, you know, murderous rage. Right. This was very deliberate and very careful. And to the investigators, it seemed like an inconsistency. And the inconsistencies were starting to really like accumulate here. And by the hour, it was getting more and more suspicious. And 6 days after the murders, the provost marshal overseeing the investigation at Fort Bragg quietly tells the FBI that you can stop looking for the hippie cultists now. We are now starting to suspect that Jeffrey McDonald actually has gone ahead and killed his entire family. Well, meanwhile, McDonald is lying in a hospital bed, biding his time, trying to recover from his collapsed lung, mm-hmm. thinking that somebody or nobody would be caught for the murder. But the news evidently had not quite reached him that he was becoming the prime suspect.
Oh, snap.
And that is where we're stopping for part one.
Okay, what a spot to stop.
I know. Love ya.
Do that to me every time.
I know.
Oh, poor family.
Brutal. This was a hard one. I tried to be sort of like, I wanted to convey that this pregnant woman and two very young, very small children were attacked brutally and murdered in the dead of night in their beds, right? Without going into a ton of detail about, you know, the extent of their injuries, which were obviously very brutal and very severe. And this must have been so sad for the whole community. I mean, think about, you know, the communities lost there, the military base.
I was going to say they're on a base, right? And so like the security from a base, right? Like
that's part of the appeal of living on a base.
I know it's decades ago, but you still have MPs. You still have the military police. Mm-hmm. You still have all of that.
Yes.
You become very close because you're all living in potential high stress situations with loved ones going off to war. And you're all in this small community. So, yeah, they all go to the same school.
I don't know. Yeah. And I mean, my impression, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I have never been to or lived on a military base, but I assume that the military base is sort of like the living area, right? Is it not like sort of a gated community? Like,
can people literally
just walk without any credentials or living there? Can people just walk in there without, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know because I don't know.
I believe that they're to like be able to drive in and enter and all that stuff, that there's gates and you have to do that. Is it fully fenced in? I'm gonna say no, I don't think
right,
so.
Right, probably
no,
not.
I don't
so
think
you
so.
Could potentially
so, like, you could like
walk in
cross
not
the border,
from...
so to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But the only way to drive in from a road, there would be like gates and officers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Anybody
let us know if we're wrong. Yeah, let us know if we're wrong. We just don't know.
Yeah, that's my guesstimate.
Okay.
That's my guesstimate.
So part two of this is where we really kind of start to unpack the investigation. There's conflicting information, more things about the crime scene that really don't make sense. The trial, which is crazy media speculation. There's mistakes in the investigation, which like really jeopardize his conviction and where things are at today and, you know, where all of that comes from. And it's, you know, so incredibly sad what happened to his family. I cannot even fathom what her family, you know, what Colette's family went through, losing their grandkids and Colette.
I don't even want to think about it.
In this situation. And we will get more into their part of the story in part two.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can check us out on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can find us on YouTube by searching Med Crimes Podcast.
Find us on Instagram, Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast.
You can send us any ideas, crazy stories, suggestions, podcast topics at medcrimes@gmail.com.
Please stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Try not to just snog everybody you meet.
Snog.
Keep your germs to your frickin' selves over there, all right?
Smegs.
Don't be spreading your schmegs and your snogs all over the place, okay? We love you guys. Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Bye.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.